الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الأكرمين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for exposing us to this great beauty, to feel these moments of purity, to be in gatherings of purity, to feel these moments of tranquility and to be in gatherings that bring about tranquility. And if you really think about the greatness of the blessing, they say that one of the pitfalls of blessings, آفت النعمة الإلف. The pitfall of blessings is becoming accustomed to them. We get so accustomed to so many blessings is that we forget about their greatness. When was the last time that any one of us went hungry? When was the last time that any one of us that didn't have a place to stay at night? When was the last time that any one of us didn't have a choice between 30 or 40 garments in their wardrobe? When was the last time that any one of us that had any type of that difficulty related to material things in our life? And certainly there are people that are among us in this country that go through great difficulties, but the pitfall of blessings is that we become accustomed to them. And oftentimes we don't realize their greatness until they're taken from us. But it is the affair of the believer who knows the true way of gratitude and thankfulness to be aware and to be that conscious of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. And when we recognize this, part of the realization of the blessings of being in a state of worship and that knowing the path to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come to know the greatness of this blessing by seeing what is transpiring around you. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied and foretold that many things that were going to happen from his time all the way until the end of time. And we have a long list of what are known as the alamat as-sa'ah that our Prophet told us about, signs of the end of time. Various individual occurrences or instances or trends that will happen that are preparing the world in order to enter into its last stage. And we know that our Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the end of time will come upon the most evil of people. But one of the tendencies of our time is, as our Prophet told us, yu'taman al-kha'in wa yukhawwan al-amin. Treacherous people are deemed to be trustworthy, and trustworthy people are deemed to be treacherous. We live in a time where people that are actively, as we speak, they have blood on their hands and are responsible for one of the worst genocides in human history, and they are given a standing ovation. They're applauded, while young children and men and women, non-combatants, and everyone in society is being exposed to some of the most terrible that things you can possibly expose human beings to. This is unbelievable and outrageous that this could transpire in this day and age. And then think about all of the other things that are transpiring around us, all the things that we are pulled into as human beings, all of the different types of distractions, such that it's very difficult for the vast majority of people to appreciate the true blessing of faith and then to have an environment that they can enter into that will actually nurture them. And from here, then we start to just start to think about these things and all of the things that you and I are exposed to, the daily onslaught of what the people of the spiritual path call otherness, aghyar, things that take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest we forget that the essential definition of the dunya, the lower world, as opposed to the alam. The alam, the cosmos, the universe points to Allah. Everything in it points to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But the dunya, the world, pulls us away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is the nature of it. This is what it is meant to do, because there is a secret in understanding that only the one who truly works hard and that places himself in a position of spiritual struggle will attain closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the nature of the world. And that it is lowly. And the only one that cling to it is someone who lacks intellect. But when we come together in gatherings like this, and we remind ourselves of the time in which we live, in terms of archetypally speaking, it is the same tendencies that have been happening all throughout history. They just take different forms and different times. the same Pharaonic tendency that existed in the Pharaoh himself manifests itself throughout the course of history until this day and age. There are people that are Pharaonic in nature. There are people that will be raised with the Pharaoh because of the connection of the hearts that they have, even if they don't know his name or what that is they're speaking, because of who they are and how that they that deal that with the world in which they live. So these archetypes repeat themselves over history. But one of the things that you and I have to always remind ourselves, the job of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather, all of the prophets who came before them, all of the followers of those various prophets that came from the time of Adam until the seal of prophets, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad until the Day of Judgment, their essential goal and mission is the same. It's the same. It hasn't changed despite the different ways that those various archetypes manifest throughout history. And that goal is nothing other than to establish this deen, to establish this religion in our own selves. This is the goal. From the time that you wake up in the morning to the time that you go to sleep at night, the goal of the believer should be to establish the reality of this deen in their own selves. And then to work on those who are within the circle, their circle of influence, to work tirelessly to establish the reality of this deen in people that are around them, people that they're able to affect, to live first and foremost its reality so that people are impacted by their state before their words. But then to do everything that they can outwardly as well to people that are around them, then to people that they might not have been able to reach before, and so forth and so on. And this was the understanding of the people who came before us. And one of the things that they mention is that if you look at the likes of Maulana Rumi, he lived during the time of the Mongol invasion. If you look at the likes of Imam al-Ghazali, he lived during the time of the Crusades. But their most important works that both of them that penned or were inspired with, the Mithnawi and the Ihya al-Umadin respectively, where is the mentioning of the political situation of their time? These were people, despite going through very difficult situations, knew that their mission is to teach people how to be. And this is why some of them say it was one of the reasons that led to that freeing of Palestine during that time was this book entering into the various curricula of the scholars in the schools, that people learned about these meanings, internalized them, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changed their condition as a result. And I'm speaking very generally, but that this has deep meaning. This was their understanding. And certainly they might have commented on it in that certain circles in certain ways, but they understood, despite how difficult the time might have been, despite how dismal it would have been to have seen this destruction before in that time, and then at different times in human history. Just think about what Muslims went through the whole colonial period. It wasn't pretty. They knew, though, that their job was to establish this deen in their own selves, in their families, in their communities, in the people in their land, in as many people as they could possibly affect. And if we all recognize this, that this is our preoccupation from the morning until the evening, is that you will find amazing doors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opens up for you. And then if we understand this, that then we can understand this meaning of the importance of environments in which seeds might be planted. And you cannot plant a seed in a hostile environment. It is not going to grow. But every gathering, every opportunity that we expose ourselves to the sweet breezes of Allah Ta'ala's mercy, whether it is a prayer, whether it is any form of worship, whether it is the prayer, whether it is Salat al-Jummah, or whether it's some form of a class that we are learning, or whether it's some form of gathering like the one in which we're in, or reciting the Burda Sharifa that is in praise of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or all of these different ways, whether it is a retreat, these are different opportunities for us to expose ourselves to having a seed planted in the heart. And when these things combine, the right people with the right environment, This is when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. And this is when people benefit profoundly. And you never know what's going to, that settle in the heart. And I want to share with you, and the story has been mentioned before, I'm going to share it in its entirety. And it's a long story, but there are so many deep meanings. The great Imam Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tustari is one of the greatest imams of this ummah, who reached the pinnacle of closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who dedicated himself entirely to his Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when you mention him, just mentioning his name, mercy descends. This is what they've always said from the time of the Tabi'een, on the tongue of Sufyan ibn Uyayna and a number of others. And the dhikr as-salihin tanzar ar-rahma, is that yes, that we should speak about evil to avoid it. Yes, that we should be aware of the world's tendencies, but if that's all we do, is that it's not going to truly help your heart except to ward off that falling into that evil. But if you want mercy to descend, you have to mention the righteous regularly. And the dhikr as-salihin tanzar ar-rahma. Mention the righteous regularly, because when you mention them, mercy descends down upon you. And just go to a gathering where people are mentioning the righteous and see how your heart feels after that gathering. This blessed city that our dear brother Sidi Muhafiz was speaking about, this is what people do. When you go to their home to eat lunch or to eat dinner, or you spend time with them or have tea with them, what do they do outside of the other things that they're doing in life? They tend to talk about the righteous, their teachers, the great imams of the past, beneficial stories that bring the life to heart, where you're benefiting almost like you're in a class and you're having dinner at someone's house. You're enjoying food and maybe dessert or tea or coffee, and you're getting a pearl of wisdom that might actually change your life, because you never know when you're going to receive something that you actually really need. So this great imam, Imam Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tustari, is that he said, when I was 3 years old, I used to wake up at night for prayer. When I was 3 years old, not seven, not nine, not 11. He said, when I was 3 years old, and I would watch my maternal uncle, who was named Imam Muhammad ibn Siwar, I would watch him pray. So he would wake up and he would watch him pray. And he said, then one day, yawman, faqala li yawman, he obviously noticed that he was waking up, but he would just let him be. And he didn't rush it. He's only 3 years old. And one day he said to him, when he was a young boy, that, shall you not remember the one who created you? Shall you not remember the one who created you? And so I asked him, how do I remember him? What do I say? He then said to him, say in your heart when you go to sleep at night, three times, without moving your tongue, Allahu ma'i, Allah is with me. Allahu nadhirun ilayya, Allah is gazing upon me. Allahu shahidi, Allah is witnessing me. He said, say it three times. Look at the beauty of this. Look at what happens when you have an environment where people are waking up for prayer. When children or people in the community are around other believers who are doing what they're supposed to do, that will directly impact them, and that's the greatest impact of all. The impact that is transpiring before you even saying anything is that you're affected by the environment in which you're in. And he was a young man, and look what he told him. How long is that going to take to say this? 15 seconds? It's easy, even for a child of this age. So he told him exactly what to do, to say three times, Allahu ma'i, Allah is with me. Allahu nadhirun ilayya, Allah is gazing upon me. Allahu shahidi, Allah is witnessing me. Three times in your heart without moving your tongue. And we're not mentioning this so that we can just hear it sound good. We're mentioning this because maybe a young person in this gathering, or even someone who's older, that actually takes this to heart. And if you do sincerely for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it will change your life through his bounty the way that it changed his life. And so he said, فَدُمْتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, so that I said this for that several nights. And then I let him know that I've been doing this. So look at this, interaction after interaction. It's not enough that it just happened one time. And so he just planted that seed. He wasn't telling him every day, did you do it? Did you do it? He let him be. And so he comes back to him, Imam Sahalim Abdullah, and he said that I let him know that I've been doing it. So then this great Imam Muhammad ibn Sawar says to him, now say it 7 times. So I started doing it until that I came back to him and told him, but I've been doing it regularly 7 times. And then he said to him, now do it 11 times. So he said, I went back and I started doing it 11 times. And then what does he say? فَوَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِي حَلَاوَتُهُ until the sweetness of it entered into my heart. I started to find this dhikr sweet. It was something then that impacted me, started changing me. I started to find intimacy in that saying these very blessed words. Because if you pause to think about these meanings, what are you saying when you're saying Allahumma'i? You're bringing to heart one of the greatest meanings you can bring to heart is that when you recognize that Allah is with me, Allah is with us. This is the reality with His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you bring that to heart that Allah is with us, what reinvigorates the heart more than that? What nurtures the heart and fulfills the human being more than the recognition of that reality? And so that he said that, I did this for an entire year. And then after a year, his uncle says to him, so he says, he said to him, after an entire year, he says, Dum alayhi ila an tadkhul al-qabr, fanno yanfa'uk yawm al-qiyam fi dunya wal-akhirah. He said, remain saying this for the rest of your life until you enter into the grave. And it will benefit you in this world and in the hereafter. So look at this beauty. An entire year passed. These were people who knew how to put things in their proper place. They were patient. They recognized that you can't grow something overnight. If you try to harvest before it's time, you're not going to get anything. You pulled the plant out and khalas, it's done. You have to wait for the right moment. He waited an entire year and then counseled him to say it every day of his life. And look, there's more. فَلَمْ أَزَلْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ سَنِينَ حَتَّى وَجَدْ لِذَلِكَ حَلَوَ فِي سِرِّي. It said, I remained doing this for years until I found its sweetness in my innermost being. And then look. And then يَوْمًا, one day. So there's still interactions. He's still meeting regularly. There's an environment and there's people that are radiant and illuminated. And he said that my uncle said to me, Ya Sahal, O Sahal, that man kana Allahu ma'ahu wa nadhina ilayhi wa shahiduhu, is that whoever realizes that Allah is with him, Allah is gazing upon him, and Allah is that with him, ayasihi, would you ever disobey him if you know that to be the reality? Iyaka wal ma'asiyah. He says, beware of ever disobeying Allah. Look at the beauty of that. He let him first taste the sweetness of it. And then he reminded him, he's giving him something that if he sticks to this now for the remaining part of his life, this is the key to wilayah. This is the key that's going to open up the door to sainthood. And don't think that this is possible just for someone during their time. There was distractions in their time too. But this is possible to someone that grows up even in this crazy time. If someone starts to taste the sweetness of Iman and the sweetness of remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that doors will grow open up for them where is that there will be a fortress on their heart that makes it impervious to all of the tendencies in our time. Rather, the difficult tendencies of our time will actually increase them in closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because despite the difficulties, they're doing the right thing. And as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that taught is that the one who that remember that the one who remembers me, right? Al Abidu, the one who worships, that in the time of indiscriminate killing is like the one who migrates unto me. As كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. In other words, if you live in a difficult time and you do what other people aren't doing, the door opens up more quickly for you. And that you experience that what other people might not have experienced in a previous time. we haven't even gotten through 40% of the story, because it tells about how he then lives his life. So he goes on to say that I used to go into states of solitude where I enjoyed being alone so he could remember his Lord. And when they sent me to the maktab, which is the school where you go to learn how to read, how to write, and you start to study the Quran, he says that I was worried that I was going to get distracted. So I agreed with my teacher that I would learn, that I would take my lesson, and then I would go review at home, not at the actual school. And he said that I memorized the entire Quran by age 6 or age 7. And he said that I used to fast regularly, and the only food that I would eat, and I'm not saying that we have to do this, that eat well, eat healthy in a balanced fashion, but just to show you how these people were, is that the only food that I would eat was barley bread for 12 years. He said, until that I reached the age of 13. He says, when I was 13, is that I asked my family to send me to Basra. This is a city in modern day Iraq. He said, because there's a question that crossed my heart that I couldn't find anyone to answer. And I went to Basra and I asked several scholars about this question and they couldn't answer me. So they guided me to a sheikh by the name of that Abi Habib Hamza ibn Abdullah al-Abidani. And they comment and they say, what was this question that crossed the heart of Sahan ibn Abdullah al-Tustari? Is that, does the heart, is there such thing as a prostration of the heart? We all know the outward sujood. But the question that came to his radiant heart is there such thing as a prostration of the heart? And this great Arif Billah responded to him, and he said, is that, yes, son of mine, is that the heart can prostrate. But when the heart prostrates, it never comes up again. It remains in prostration. Imagine having a heart that is forever prostrating. You come out physically out of prostration, and your heart is prostrating. Is it you that go to the marketplace and your heart is prostrating? Is it you're in a gathering of goods and your heart is constantly prostrating, completely humble, relying solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says that I spent time with him and I learned from his adab, I learned from his manners and how he was until I returned to my hometown of Tustar. And then he describes that how he was then throughout his life. And that one of the things that he mentioned is that he would remain praying that all night long for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among other things, and how that minimal that he took from this world. But the point in this is if you and I understand the greatness of the opportunities that are before us, the hope is that when we do what we need to do for his sake subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a seed will be planted. Is that the blessed meaning will be rooted in our heart that will lead to abundant good. And this is what we hope for, not just for ourselves, but all of those that are with us, and for the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be grounded in a time where the vast majority of people around us are uprooted, to be centered when at a time that the vast majority of people around us are decentered. And the meaning of the heart being centered is that we have a heart that is directed to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and open up the doors for us to benefit, and may these meanings penetrate into our hearts, ya arhamar rahimin, and may we taste the sweetness of faith, and may we taste the sweetness of the remembrance of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.